For those of you that were here yesterday, you might have heard my opening. So some of this might be repetitive on some levels, but on the other hand, I'm also going to expand on a few things that we spoke about yesterday. So while these guys do their AV stuff, I'll get started. After the passage of Amendment 64, I started really thinking about how to safely introduce a new product into our community. I heard a lot of concerns during the election from our community. Anything from it would degrade our community to turn tourism away, ruin our schools, gateway drugs, Amsterdam, etc. With that in mind, I invited a group of community stakeholders, and we'll get to that in a minute, who they are, but they are major players in our town, most of which who I thought were going to show up and say, hey, this is too hot of a topic, not interested, or in general would just not want to touch this issue because it was still, as we said, too hot. What I told them is that I thought it was our responsibility to introduce this product responsibly, safely, and we all, to my surprise, agreed that we needed a strong educational component to this for our children, for our community members, and for the visitors to come here, which is a big part of this community's economy, needless to say. What we talked about was whether or not you believe it or not, marijuana has been part of this community for a long time, and we all knew that. It's always been a low priority for law enforcement. It's not ever been at the top of our list. And the culture here was clearly accepted this in our community. So it was kind of an easy sell, and I think I was nervous over nothing. Everyone in the group, in the room agreed that we needed to take the lead on this issue. So we started with some public presentations, and I'll once again go to that in a minute too. We went to the public with the information. We introduced them to delivery systems, what this really means to kids, how it will affect children's brains, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And when I started the council, the major idea was to eventually get to talk to a room full of people like you, show us the model that we created, and hopefully get a template that anybody could take to their community and lay it over and say, we have some results from a resort community in Colorado, and we've seen it work, and we want to adopt it ourselves. And as I said yesterday morning, we happened to take a road trip yesterday to Northwest Colorado Council of Governments, which is a group of usually county commissioners, maybe some city council members, but government leaders from around the state, and there are about 20 people there to hear our presentation. So I'm starting to see that this is coming to fruition when
who were the people that were there?
The county specifically?
Yeah.
When I'll just name off a few, Jerry, thank you. Rio Blanco County, very, very rural Colorado. We had somebody from Jackson and Lincoln County, very, very rural Colorado. Some of these, when Amendment 64 was passed, any county or municipality had the option to opt out and say, this isn't for us. And some of these counties that were in the room were counties that opted out. So needless to say, whatever I had to say was of no interest to them, either because they made this decision in their county and it's not going to change, or, well, that's basically the main reason. If they're going to, if they're not big fans, whatever I had to say was not going to interest them at all. So, as I said, when we started this panel, what I'd like to, the main interest was to use it as a template for other communities that we could lay over and do some good work there. So what I'd like to try and get done today is to establish some context for the work we've done and can tell you who our stakeholders are, because I think that's the most important part of this presentation. Answer questions from you about what we've done and how it might relate to you, especially states that have not had legal marijuana yet or you're on the horizon of that. I think some of the work we've done will help your communities maybe put their minds at rest over the demon. And once again, at the end, the most valuable part of this for me is always to hear from you and answer your questions. So I'd like to introduce some of our stakeholders now. Our stakeholders are, we got public health involved, big part of this. Pickens County Sheriff's Office, which I am the sheriff of, Aspen Police Department, Pickens County Management and Manager, Aspen Town Manager. Youth Zone is actually an interesting group. They are charged with tracking adolescent drug use in our valley, and they do statistical work, so it was important for them to be here. Valley Partnership for Drug Prevention also works with teenagers and adults to prevent or to help with drug addiction, so that was important. We got our school superintendent involved, and he was real interested in it. Now keep in mind, this was 18 months ago. This was right after we had Amendment 64 passed. Our first meeting was sometime in January. Aspen Valley Hospital came on board to give us real information on how marijuana affects developing brains and adults. We had the Aspen Skiing Company, which frankly I thought would run from this idea. They're historically more or less a large corporation, and I didn't think they'd want to be known as participating in this. But believe it or not, they are, and their general counsel, a guy named Dave Clark, is one of our most active participants. I really think he's a big part. Aspen Chamber Resort Community, which is basically Chamber of Commerce, thank you. That's what they are, and they're a big part of this. At the bottom, we have four representatives from retail, and that was a big part of this organization, and I'll get to that in just a second. If we could see the next slide, please. This was our mission. We wanted to create a cohesive community approach to facilitate the safe, responsible, and successful inception of recreational marijuana into Aspen and Pickens County. Our overreaching goals: prevent long-term health and safety issues related to introduction of recreational marijuana. As I said, that's a big role in this. Involve a variety of community stakeholders, which I just mentioned. And now we're at this stage, which I think is going to be important for you and everybody else. We're starting to document our work and find out if we're really making an impact or not. One of the missions I'd like to see in the future is, can we introduce marijuana into a community or county with 17,000 people in it and lower adolescent drug use as we do it? I think that would be an amazing effort community-wide, and I don't know how close we are to that yet. We're starting to survey our teenagers in schools to see, you know, it's an interesting thing. I don't think teenagers tell the truth when they take surveys. Do you use drugs? Do you not use drugs? Even though it's a private survey and it might be written down, I still think kids tend to exaggerate or under-exaggerate their use. So I don't know how accurate some of these things could be. So I think we're going to find out when we get to... Brad, can I change this up here? Or
I'm not sure.
Okay, let's hit the... Okay, so this is some of the work that we've done, and a couple of these things I have to tell you are my personal favorites, and other ones you're going to hear get met with some...
Push the right hand button.
Thank you, Brad. Some of these things I'm really proud of, and some of the other ones get head scratches from communities, especially some of these down here. One of the first things we did was we realized that we're selling product in Aspen, and most of the people that come through here are visitors. They come in on a plane, they go to a dispensary and buy half ounce of weed and a $300 PAX vaporizer, and they decide they want to go home, and they realize, oh shit, I can't travel with this stuff. So we put an amnesty box at the airport. What that is, and you might, some of you who traveled here will see it when you go home, it's a big green box near the TSA checkpoint. It's secured to the ground, it's basically a vault, and it's your last chance to dump your weed before you get on an aircraft and end up in Dallas, Texas, or San Antonio, and get busted.
With that shit, though, after you, with the people that have to stay here.
I'm sorry?
What do we do with that ship that's in the...
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because there's a funny story behind that. So it's basically your last chance to dump your weed before you get out of town. And one of my deputies goes by there on a regular basis and empties it. Right now, I have about 30 road deputies. Those are patrol officers. I have 2 honorary deputies in the whole country. When I had this amnesty box, I had 15 of my friends call me asking to be deputized so they could empty it. And I'm not kidding. That is a true story. And what's funny about the amnesty box is when it first started, the only thing in the amnesty box was donut wrappers and Starbucks cups because everyone thought it was a trash container. So we did some work on that and made it very prominent when you leave the airport. The other thing we did, and this gives me some other, my sheriffs give me a lot of hard time over this one. Marijuana is a cash business. It's the, which I can't fathom, I don't think any of you guys can either, why that is or why it still is. But I had this vision of some of our dispensary owners, the whole world knows it's a cash business, leaving their business with their little green bank bag that we all see, stuffed with 10 grand in cash from the day's receipts. And being a former criminal myself, I know that somebody would look at this and it'd be only a matter of time before somebody said, let's hit that guy over the head and take his cash. So what we did is we told the marijuana retailers, if you're leaving your business with a shitload of cash and you think you're gonna get knocked over the head or you're just generally uncomfortable, call us, we'll provide you an escort. Now, I had to extend that to everybody else in our community as well. So if you have a jewelry store and you're walking around with $500,000 in diamonds, call me because it's better than the alternative. So, and as I said, some of my sheriffs gave me a hard time over this. Is this what we really want to be doing? My primary job in life is public safety. That's protecting the public as far as I'm concerned. So that's one of the things we did that was, that I'm pretty proud of. This one, when we met with our ACRA, the Chamber of Commerce, we found out that, actually it was through a news story, now that I think about it, there was a news story that said there was a maid in one of the rooms, that, and we all been in hotel rooms, and we buy vodka or buy weed or buy whatever, and leave it in the room, and the maid usually takes it and takes it home and drinks it or eats it or whatever. So in this case, there was a maid, non-English speaking maid, who picked up some candies, wrapped candies, brought them home to her 6-year-old kid and gave it to them thinking it was a treat. The kid got fucked up and it was unpleasant for everybody involved. So with that, the hotel community came to us and said, this is a problem. So we started to do a campaign in Spanish and begged the hotel managers and general managers to tell their staff, don't take anything home in the room that you don't know exactly what it is. So I think that was a preventative measure that we found out through what was an unintended consequence of this. I would have never have thought that that would be an issue, but it was.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, please interrupt with questions.
I'm just wondering, I've spoken to hotels about this too, and they don't know if they take marijuana out of a room, how do we destroy it? Do you want us to put it in the trash, or do you want us to give it to law enforcement? And that seems to be the catch. I've never known the answer. I don't know if you've got a good answer for that.
Bring it to 720 Bay Street.
Bring it to Jerry's tonight. A toilet, just like, remember that Cheech and Chong thing, please, and then you hear the toilet flush. I'd say a toilet, or bring it to your local law enforcement. We take things to an incinerator and fry it. So I would make the same offer for marijuana if it's found in a room or whatever. But my guess would be that marijuana from that room would make it to somebody who's a user and it would get passed on that way. That would just be my guess. This was another thing we did very early on. As I said, Amendment 64 was passed. It started to go into effect in 2014. Some of our retailers were selling very, very, very look-alike products. The two I remember most was a product called Hashies. It looked like Reese's peanut butter cups. It was in an orange wrapper, had the same font, You could not tell the difference unless you knew what you were buying or looked closely at it. Same thing with a Snickers bar. And how this really came to my attention as well was, had a good friend who had two peanut butter cups in the top shelf of their refrigerator to keep it away from their very, very small kids. And their nanny, who's a 62-year-old Hawaiian lady, decided to have a snack and ate both, which was, I think, 200 milligrams, I think, what the total dose was. And she was KO'd for 2 days. The biggest problem is my friend's house didn't get cleaned for 2 days. But so that brought this to my attention, that we're selling these look-alike products. So we went to our dispensary owners, who we already had a relationship with, and told them the story and said, look, you know, nothing's more valuable to these guys than their licenses. So we said to them, look, this is what we see as a community problem. This is a new business. Could you help us out and take these look-alike products off the shelves? Well, they were more than happy to do it, and I haven't seen anything like that since. In fact, I believe strongly that any edible product should have some kind of, whether it's a green cross or skull and crossbones or whatever you want to put on, emblazoned on the product, so everyone knows what they're eating when they eat it. This is actually, and I'm going to be frank, part of the business that I'm really not comfortable with. Yes, sir.
Sheriff, we don't do that with alcohol, and we don't do that with prescription pills. Why should we make jump and do that with marijuana?
Well, I would say primarily because of the child issue.
But the parents are responsible to make sure prescription drugs are secure and alcohol is in a safe place.
And you know, what's your name?
Chris.
Chris, you know, this segues into another part of my presentation that I also believe strongly in. We have a school, elementary, middle school, high school here in Aspen, and I have two school resource officers there all the time, both in uniforms, and they're there more or less to be the kiddie's pal. If you got a problem, go to the school resource officer, and you'd be amazed how many people go to the school resource officer and tell them things they would never tell their parents. So when somebody asks me that, really, I think that my responsibility ends after those 6 hours. The other 3/4 of the day belongs to you, and parent your kids, and lock up your prescription medicines. Don't keep your weed in a sock drawer where everybody keeps it. You know, I think that comes back to a parental thing. But as far as we don't do it with alcohol, Jack Daniels clearly looks like alcohol in a big bottle, and you can tell your kid, don't drink anything like that.
And weed is very well marked based on regulation here in the state to make sure in the packaging you know what it is.
Right, but once it's out of the packaging, that's what I'm concerned about.
Same thing with wine in the glass.
Correct me if I'm wrong, yes, but right. I do think that they're writing rules, right, Mike, to identify marijuana outside of its package, marijuana products outside of its package?
Yeah, rulemaking is going to be settled this summer. Everything's going to have to be identifiable with a mark, a stamp, food coloring, but then some stuff that it's not practical to do it, like sodas, might get exempted, but that's what we're going to be fighting about this July.
Aren't they also doing
July?
Aren't they also trying to regulate it so there's like no look-alike stuff too? So
but that's already in the law.
Is it?
Yeah, and that company is sued by Hershey's. That made the hashies, right? Well,
I'm sorry?
Yes.
What was the...
I was saying the company that made the hashies, the Reese's lookalike, got sued by Hershey's.
I think maybe he was referring to spraying marijuana edibles with an oil and not making the edible product, like manufacturing the food.
Right, and also, like, aren't the gummies, they're trying to make them so they have some kind of stamp on them or something, so they...
That's what this rulemaking is.
And that's something I'm going to support. I think it's the right thing to do.
It's happening one way or the other because it's mandated by state law, and so it's coming. We just don't know what the rules are yet.
So as I said, we had real great partnerships. In fact, and it's down the road on another slide. We also, through our council, made a brochure up that gives you the do's and don'ts and how-tos of consumption of marijuana, safe storage, responsible use, and our retailers more than happy to put those out. In fact, rack cards that you see around tourist communities like ours, you'll see them that have rafting and mining tours and ski tours. And well, in there is a Valley Marijuana brochure that gives you the do's and don'ts about using marijuana in Colorado. And sometimes I will go into a weed shop, because when we give the weed shops these, by the way, it's so not cool to call it weed anymore, you gotta call it cannabis. But I'm an old timer, so excuse my. So I would sometimes go to retail shops and sit on a couch or a chair and spend 10 minutes in there and watch a couple of transactions. And if somebody buys an edible product or a large amount of marijuana or whatever, and they're not properly educated, I would probably go to the manager of that store and say, hey, I just watched somebody walk out of here with, it pre-February with 150 milligrams of marijuana in an edible candy. And I didn't hear you tell that guy one thing about don't double down, wait 3 hours before you reapply, anything like that. So that's the stuff that I think is really incumbent on a retailer to tell the person who's buying it. I'd also like to start in Aspen, we have what's called a TIPS program. Don't ask me what TIPS is an acronym for, because I've forgotten it. But every bartender in this community is trained to see if somebody's intoxicated so they don't drive home, to give them a tipsy taxi voucher and get them home safely. I think we have to do the same thing in dispensaries for bud tenders, et cetera, and give them a real good training program on how to sell this product. So that's something I'd like to see our council start working on. We started one of our first meetings with the Valley Marijuana Council was in public. We had a public meeting with adults only, and we invited everyone to come to our city hall. And what we did was we had a table like this, and we had a few retailers bring samples of all their products, and we put them out. Now, as I said, I've lived here since 1980. I knew the majority of people in the room. A good part of them I knew to be marijuana users, at least in the past, and maybe have not in a long time because they've raised children and just got it out of their lives. So when we did this display, I had a presentation much like you're listening to today, and we had the products out there. And I was shocked how many parents and people I've known for 30 years did not know that marijuana was not only used in a pipe or a joint anymore, that there was vaporizers, there was oils, there was smokables, there was transdermal stuff, there was a whole bunch of this stuff. So I was surprised how our adult community wasn't ahead of this. So that was our educational program. We did two of those. After that, we did one at the schools for parents only, for parent identification of products. I mean, a pencil or a pen in a kid's backpack right now could be an infused electronic cigarette, and I thought they needed to know that. So we did a couple, we started with middle school parents and went up to high school parents, and we did two or three of those presentations, and I was surprised how well we were received there. As I mentioned before, we did one to our hotel and restaurant businesses as what to look for when serving or when cleaning somebody's rooms. And probably the most interesting one I've done was about a year ago, I invited the county sheriffs of Colorado, which is 64 men and women, who are the majority very conservative politicians from rural Colorado, conservative in nature, and invited them here and did this presentation for them. I did not expect to change anyone's mind on the product, but I did expect to maybe reach out to two or three of them. And that's pretty much what I reached out to. During the presentation, we had one of our more prominent retailers, a guy named Jordan Lewis, who owns Silver Peak Apothecary. It's kind of the Tiffany's of apothecaries in Pitkin County, very high end. He's very proud of his product. He has a 27,000 square foot grow operation about 11 miles or so from here. And we have a sheriff at the time, was from Well County. I think he's now a senator, isn't he, Rachel? Sheriff Cook? He might be a senator now.
He's my state senator, and that's not a good thing.
I'm sorry?
He's my state senator, that's not a good thing.
Yeah, so Sheriff Cook, who's, I actually like the guy, he's very outspoken, we couldn't be on two ends of the spectrum, but we, over a couple of drinks, we usually have a good time as long as we're not talking about things relevant to our community. So, and you know, it's funny that we all also agree, no matter how different we agree or disagree, we all have different constituents. Sheriff Cook has considerably different constituents than I do, and I need to respect that.
Everyone has different constituents.
You can say that. But Sheriff Cook was listening to this presentation, as Jordan was talking, I could see his face getting redder and redder like a thermometer. And finally, he stood up and said, you know, I don't like you, and I don't like your product. And this is with, we had the governor there. The governor came, and he was listening to this. And the governor and most sheriffs don't get along, and that's a story for another time. But Jordan politely said, why do you not like me? You don't know me. He said, because you're a drug dealer, and I hate drug dealers. So this is the room we were in. And I'm glad that we got to do that, because I think we got some people thinking about this. Any questions on what I've spoken about so far? Because I know you guys, it's the end of the day and you want to get out of here early, but that's not going to happen because I got about 2 more hours or so.
How many people came to your sheriff's meeting?
You mean the county sheriffs of Colorado? We had 20 sheriffs there. And I also invited press, and it was open to anybody. Yes, sir.
This is great, Sheriff. Like, are there other sheriffs that do this in the state? Are you the only one?
Well, Brad, who you're going to meet in a minute, we don't know that anyone's doing this. Yesterday we went to, and Brad will fill in the blanks on this, so I just want to tease you. When we went to this Northwest COG yesterday, we did have a county or two ask us if we could help them out because they think that they might have been off and running a little prematurely and needed some of this stuff to catch up. So how does this relate to the work? I'm sorry, go ahead.
Have you heard from the kids yet on what they think about all of this, and are they more attracted to, less attracted? What do they say?
You know, it's funny, when I talk to kids, and I'm pretty pragmatic. I talk to everybody like they're 50 years old, which could be good or bad. But when I talk to kids, they're kind of like, you know, we know it's good or bad for us, but most kids say, I'm aware of it, not that interested, more interested in my schoolwork. But I do know that there's kids that are using it clearly, and but we're going to wait to see what the survey says on what they're doing. Any other questions about what I've presented so far? So how does what I'm telling you or talking to you about?
Yes, sir. A question about the 21, you know, the age limit. Has there been any increase or decrease in people trying to buy and being told no? I mean, do you know if kids are trying to buy at legal stores?
That's an interesting question, because at our office, we have stacks of cards from liquor stores and bars, fake IDs,
right. That
get caught. I don't think we have any from dispensaries, because there's always a point of contact before you even enter the door. And I think anyone with a fake ID, that's just too much scrutiny.
Right. So
we're not seeing it.
I went to a store yesterday just to check it out. Next door liquor store, next door grocery store. Went in to check your ID. And I asked the guy, what's the median age of your customer? And he says, probably about 45 years old.
Yeah, and that's what I think they're finding statewide, is most of these customers. In fact, our ER, when we ask them what kind of patients they're seeing like octogenarians. I mean, old folks, us. Yes, sir.
My question is that when he interacts as a sheriff, I assume you have to interact with the federal law enforcement as well to some degree. What has been their attitude towards you? Because I love what you're doing. I just wanted to know.
Well, I interact with feds as little as possible. I don't like them. But, you know, it's funny you should say that, because for years in this community, and this is a sidetrack, and please raise your hand if I'm going on too long, but as a sidetrack of this, because of our live and let live attitude, the DEA, FBI, et cetera, has never really liked the way we did our jobs, or in their eyes, didn't do our jobs. But now, even today, when we get a grow that we think is suspicious, and I get a call from a member of my community and says, hey, Sheriff, there's a guy with a grow next door. I don't think it's legal. What are you going to do about it? I say, I'm not going to do anything about it. I got a state agency that's all over that. We usually call a state agency and they go, how big is it? In this case, it's the size of a swimming pool. The guy took a concrete swimming pool, filled it with dirt, built a greenhouse over it, and I said, I'm not going to do anything about it. I got an agency for this. And when they hear it's the size of a swimming pool, they go, not interested. Well, if they're not interested, neither am I. And that goes for cocaine, that goes for anything else. We have been on, got neighborhood complaints about cars in front of the house that come by every 5 minutes, especially on a Friday after paychecks are cashed, and clearly the guy in there must be selling cocaine. So neighbors come to us, they say, great, I have no way to surveil anybody, I'm too small for that stuff, I'm not going to do undercover work, I'm not going to do it by bus. If you want me to do a knock and talk, that's up right up my alley. But hey, Mr. DEA man in Glenwood Springs, this sounds like it's right up your alley. Too small, not interested. So that's how I interact with the Fed, poorly. So how does this stuff relate to what you're doing before we move on? Is there any discussion around this at this point, or should, Jeffrey, something I said?
Am I excused, Joe?
Yes, you are, sir.
I got something to share.
Yes, sir.
You're putting together a model for long-term local, you know, immersion into the, you know, making the marijuana industry part of the community. And so I guess my question is that you've got a great model here in other communities. I wonder if this would work in other communities. Like, I was thinking here, Denver, such a huge area, but maybe local precincts can do their own similar thing. But
and that's what I'm hoping. I mean, Denver's a very large place for this to take hold. But I'm looking for other communities that might be my size and grow it that way. I think part of the problem is I don't think anyone wants to speak dishonestly about this product yet. And I think that's what's kind of holding us back. Because let's see what the pitfalls are and let's take them on.
You know, the first election that just happened in Denver where marijuana legalization was included in the conversation at every step of those candidates getting into the race through election day. It's changed. No matter how you slice it, it's a different interaction with elected officials starting to.
I don't think
could you repeat that for the
Chris, could you repeat that?
I was just saying that in Denver, that was the first election that we've had post Amendment 64, full recreational legalization. So the conversation has changed regardless of who gets elected. Every one of them is better informed on the subject.
And I hope that keeps growing. And you know, people ask me how this has impacted my community. I have to say, honestly, I don't really see the impact, except for some of the things that we've talked about, which were unintended consequences from legalization. And I don't even know what's on the horizon after some of these pitfalls we talked about. But I think locally, one of the things that I hope the city gets us involved in is cannabis clubs. You know, I think we have laid down a good track for responsibility here. I've talked to some of our council members about why aren't we out in front on a cannabis club and do it the right way and do it responsibly and make ourselves once again a model. The answer is usually we don't want to be on the front of that battle. Somebody has to. I'd rather it be us doing it right than Gunnison doing it wrong.
This goes along with what you're saying about cannabis club and being the first. When are we going to be able to teach people how to make their own edibles or infuse stuff and do it with safety and education in mind, like a cooking class?
I don't know. I that's way over my pay grade right now.
Okay.
I thought, you know, and I'm getting anecdotal here, so I'm going to rely on Brad to wave me off if we're going on too long. We had an interesting thing. You know, with that comes from what I've heard is food safety,
yes,
freshness. If you're going to if you're going to share it, how safe is the product? One of the, and I'm telling this as a funny story. 2 weeks ago, we have a temple, Shabbat, a Jewish Community Center. It's on Main Street. It's the most uncreative building on the planet. It's a big square building. And they are an Orthodox temple. And in the newspaper, maybe 10 days or so ago, there was an article that said the JCC is going to feature a night with Art and Mary Jane. What you would do is you go to the Jewish Community Center and they'll serve you wine, beer, and snacks. And if you want to bring your own weed, you could bring your own weed. And they will give you an easel and a canvas, and paints and let you get creative while you take lessons. I'd go. It sounds like a great thing. City of Aspen came in, read the newspaper article, and said, ain't happening, not in this town. Rachel Gillette helped me with something last October, and we found out that any place in the city of Aspen that has a business, and Rachel, jump in if I'm wrong, please. Any place in the city of Aspen that has a business license, you cannot smoke marijuana in, period. So I don't know if a JCC needs a business license, maybe they do, but the city came down on them. Hotels can't sponsor events like this. If they knew what was going on in that roof, we'd have our hands full. They will not allow these events to happen in the city of Aspen. You're lucky you're clandestine about it, but I do think it's stuff that we need to start having conversations about. I mean, this is a tourism issue. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to a friend of mine, a new friend, Brad, who's going to tell us a little bit about how we got here, and then I'm going to wrap up with our brochure, and I want to show you an interesting video from Nostra Outer State. Yes, Mr. Goldstein.
Joey, what is your policy with respect to driving?
I don't, you know, no. I have the same feeling, and this is not a political statement, Jerry, that I have to say to protect my job. A bad idea for most people is drive alone. Children, like I said, my age limit now, based on all the information that I've been gathering for the last few years, is 21's probably too young. I'm not sure. I know there's smarter people than me in this room on the topic, but I do worry about this on a developing brain. Jerry will know this story. Just last week, I met with a... Jerry, how am I going to phrase this? With a person in our community that has a doctor's license and prescribes marijuana is primarily all she does. 60 patients in a day, knocking these licenses out. She told me very proudly last week how she has met with a family with a child who's 3 years old who has some developmental issues. Child's not growing fast enough, not eating enough, not gaining enough weight. She prescribed marijuana with THC in it. And I just couldn't think of a worse option in the world, especially when we have a CBD option, have other options. That to me is irresponsible. And I think it's irresponsible of parents to share with their young kids. And needless to say, I'm pretty wide open about what I feel and freedoms. But when it comes to that, I think I have a pretty hard line on it. I don't like it. Probably the only thing I really prohibit. I mean, anything like anything other than that goes. Any other questions? With that, I'd like to turn it over to Brad just for a minute to show. And Brad is an interesting guy. He comes to us from the Aspen Community Foundation. The Aspen Community Foundation is a group that I'm going to let him take care of this.
Thanks, Joe.
So I'll be brief, don't worry. The Aspen Community Foundation is a local foundation. They're pretty prominent. They have a lot of money, relatively speaking, that they grant to nonprofits. So they are very community-oriented. They organize things like a Cradle to Career initiative that targets kids being ready for kindergarten, graduating high school, ready for college or career. They do very broad community serving initiatives. And they were familiar with the Valley Marijuana Council that Joe spoke to when he first stood up and had organized back in 2014. And they were interested in that for the support of communities, Pitkin County as a beginning, but then more broadly. If you look at it from a policy neutral and biased perspective, there's a need for communities to take a proactive versus a head in the sand stance about what legalization means for communities. So with that, they brought me in. My company is called Allied Insight, and we do a lot of work on a range of topics. to lead the Valley Marijuana Council effort that, that Joe had put together as the founder, and to move that ahead. One of the important things being, Mike, to your question, is expanding, replicating that model. So one of the key objectives I have is to identify needs in other communities and places where this model would be helpful and effective. So, just a quick update from the road yesterday. When we went to speak to the Northwest Colorado Council of Governments, there seems to be pretty strong interest in... Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. There seems to be pretty strong interest in other areas that, that haven't really thought through what we do about these changes. So Garfield County, we look forward to supporting. Summit County, the Northwest Colorado Council of Governments is going to be doing a survey of all their members to really define what are all these communities doing, if anything, to bring the community part into the conversation. And in many cases to ideally partner with industry so that we can prevent issues for the benefit of everybody. In any case, I don't have a lot more, but just wanted to quickly introduce what we're doing.
I think it's perfect. Thanks, Brad. And if you could go to the
brochure.
Brochure. Okay. And then I got to show. This is an example of the brochure that we put out that is in. You probably see them in rack stands around the town, and if you go to that dispensary, I either hope to see one with our stuff on it, or the dispensaries are now taking our information and putting their own logos on it, I'd like to see them stuffing in every bag, but if you could just stop there, I think that's
sure.
That's the critical information, you know, how to use, how to serve, how to store. These are all things that I think, if you're coming from out of town, you might not know a lot about. Question, Chris?
One quick question. With your amnesty box, how many people have you interacted with or sighted at the airport since legalization trying to get on the plane? How many people have TSA caught and then taken those keys?
We have sighted one person, and what that person and the circumstances on that person was. And this is an interesting topic for attorneys, is if you have a candy that's 1 ounce, that clearly doesn't mean there's 1 ounce of marijuana in there. So how much is really in there? This one guy tried to board an aircraft, and in his check bag he had, remember bath salts? That it's a synthetic something. He had a brick of bath salts in his check luggage with about 5 pounds of edible marijuana. They saw the denseness of this brick, and when they x-rayed his check bags, went through it, found the bath salts, found the marijuana, and that led to a summons. That's the only one we've had at the airport so far. 5 pounds of edible marijuana going to California is, you know, something you're gonna get hung up on.
All right, how many people with sickly possession have been referred to you in TSA?
My department has made no arrest for sickly possession. The Aspen Police Department's made a couple, but once again, philosophically, we're probably a tick or two apart, and they might be a little much less.
Sheriff, did you all pass a local tax, a local marijuana tax, to pay for the education and stuff, or how is the money?
You know, we don't have a local tax, but yesterday when we were at this meeting, I think there was a $5 purchase charge?
Per transaction charge.
Per transaction in Summit County, which is where that show
Eagle.
Eagle
County.
High profits. Yeah. Eagle County, yeah. Every time you buy marijuana, you get taxed at the 25%, whatever it is, plus $5. It would be interesting to say, hey, I'd like petition every $5 to come back to the Marijuana Council for an educational program, but you know, I don't want people paying a lot of money for something that how Brad got here is from a generous donation from a long-term supporter of this organization and others like it who gave us a generous donation to hire Brad. So I don't see the need to keep taxing people additionally. For those out of town, I just want to show this video. I was shocked when I saw this. This year at the Super Bowl, I had a small party at my house, And right before opening kickoff, when they switched from the national feed back to the local feed, that was going to go to the national feed again, this commercial shows up. And, you know, I'll just play it and see if any of it sounds familiar to what you've heard today that we've been preaching here for 18 months.
Now, where should I hold this?
Here's a message from the state of Colorado to the state of Colorado. Now that marijuana is legal here, we've all got a few things to know. But instead of just telling you what you can't do, we're going to tell you what you can do, too. Here we go. If you choose to use, don't drive high. Instead, just walk or skip or catch a ride. You can even frolic or stroll or run. Just remember, you got to be 21. That's to have and to hold and to buy and to use. And if you do, public space, federal land, and your car aren't the place. Stay at home. Keep it locked and under a lid. And most importantly, keep it out of reach of the kids. For those underage, it's just not okay. Their brains are still growing, so keep it away. And remember, whatever you get here can't leave our state. So stick around a while. You'll find this place is pretty great. Visit goodtoknowcolorado.com for more info. Because when it comes to marijuana, it's good to know.
Who in this room ever thought they'd see a state-sponsored ad like that?
That's what our taxes pay for.
So that's my presentation. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to see them. If not, I'll see you at Jerry's later on. Thank you.
Thank you.